السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening, in the last program we had moved off from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the greatness of the month of Ramadan, the blessedness of the month of Ramadan. From there the incident was mentioned with regards to the development of the mahabbat and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter we mentioned that the month of Ramadan is the ideal opportunity and the ideal month for us to develop and to enhance our spirituality, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept shaitan at bay and He's also allowed us to have this nafs of ours. We have these two enemies of ours. Enemy number one obviously is the nafs. And how do we prove this? Is that if you look at the incident of shaitan, then what was it that caused shaitan to go astray? Because shaitan, we've got two enemies. One is nafs and shaitan. But something caused shaitan to go astray. And that was his own nafs. That is why there is mentioned one incident of Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam, that he had inquired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, how do I get close to you? So the response that was given to him is, Da' nafsak wa ta'al. That, O Musa alayhi salam, abandon your nafs. Leave your nafs one side. And then you come to me. So the greatest barrier to reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this nafs. And this is what caused shaitan to go astray. His own nafs, his own ego. He was making lots of ibadat. Lots of ibadat. He was the greatest abid. He was the greatest arif. He was the greatest alim. He had these three ayns. The amount of, he was an abid of Allah Ta'ala. He was a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to some narrations, it is mentioned that he is not a spot on this earth, on the surface of the earth, except that shaitan has made some form of ibadat on it. So he's made ibadat around the globe. The whole world, every spot, he has made some ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such was his ibadat that eventually Allah ta'ala even allowed him to be with the malaika and the angels. Kana min al-jinni, he was from the jinn. But because of his piety, he was allowed to go and roam with the malaika. Together with that, he was an alim. Allah ta'ala had granted him the knowledge, not only of the shariat of Adam alayhi salam, but every single nabi, shaitan has got the knowledge of that shariat. Together with that, he was also an arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognized who Allah ta'ala was. So that when Allah ta'ala had cast him out from Jannah, or had cast him out from and rejected him from his court rather, so then he knew that Allah ta'ala, though Allah was angry with him, Allah ta'ala's anger was not like the anger of man and jinn. Generally, when we become angry, then we are overwhelmed with our anger. So if, for example, an employer is very upset with his employee, or the ustad is very upset with the student, so now in that state of anger, if the student has to make some request, then that student too knows that that's the biggest mistake I'm making, because the ustad will get even more angry. Or if the employee has to now make a request to the employer, in that state, when the boss is upset, then he knows he may even get more of a scolding or reprimand. But shaitan knew that Allah Ta'ala's anger was not like the anger of anyone else. Allah was never overwhelmed and overcome by his anger. So even in that anger of Allah Ta'ala, he made a dua to Allah. He made a request to Allah Ta'ala. قَالَ أَنْظِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ O Allah, give me life till the day of Qiyamah. قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ Allah accepted his dua on this point. There were some people say that, you know, I am so sinful. I am so sinful. My du'as won't get accepted. Mawlana, you make du'a. My du'as are not going to get accepted. You make du'a for me. So the question or the response that we can give to them, that are you more rejected than shaitan? If Allah Ta'ala could accept the du'a of shaitan, why will Allah Ta'ala not accept your du'a? And in fact, some ulama state that the person who feels that Allah Ta'ala will not accept his du'a, then this is also an indication of pride. Because what he is saying is that now my sins are so great that even Allah can't forgive it. Even Allah can't forgive it. Allahu Akbar, respected elders and brothers, the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala, as Hazrat Muayyan Yusuf rahmatullah used to say, that Ya Allah, just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind. Just that one drop of Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is sufficient. And then Hazrat used to give the example, which is actually the example of Hazrat Shah Akim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, that the person who goes to the ocean and he is completely polluted, perhaps he's fallen in some sewer line and he is completely filthy, and now he stands in front of the ocean and says, Oh ocean, I am so filthy and I am so dirty that if I dive inside you, I will pollute you. So if that ocean could speak, that ocean will say, Oh foolish one, you just jump inside my waters and one wave of mine will completely purify you. Just one wave. So that is the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is that Allah ta'ala even accepted the dua of shaitan. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, why won't Allah ta'ala accept our du'as? Yes, when we're making dua sometimes, I don't know why we're going on the topic of dua, but there must be some reason. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا Man is very, we are always in a hurry. We want to see instant results. We are living in a world where we want instant. You send the message, you press the button, it must reach immediately. You switch on the microwave, immediately. We want instant results. Everything must happen instantly. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't work like that. Allah Ta'ala's system is tadrijan. Everything has got an appointed, stipulated time. If you look at the child, the way the child is born, then there's that period of 9 months, and then the child has to first go through infancy, then teething, then crawling, and then the child starts walking slowly, until eventually the child reaches age of strength. If Allah Ta'ala wanted, the person made dua for a child, next thing, delivery at the door. There'll be one child waiting there. But Allah Ta'ala's system is that everything is done gradually. So when we make dua now, we want instant results. But Allah Ta'ala has got an appointed time when that dua will be accepted. And when Allah Ta'ala accepts it, sometimes that is the best time when it is actually accepted. So the actual acceptance of the dua has taken place, but we will only see the outcome of the dua at the right time. So this is something we should remember, and we should have this yaqeen that when we are making dua, Allah is listening to our dua. It is mentioned in Hadith Sharif that the person's dua is accepted in one of three ways. Either Allah Ta'ala gives the person exactly that which he or she is asking for, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them something better, in that Allah Ta'ala removes some calamity or some harm, or Allah Ta'ala gives something even better. The person is making dua for example, a car, but Allah Ta'ala makes it possible for this person to become Hafizul Qur'an. So he suddenly gets tawfiq to start learning Qur'an Sharif, not realizing that Qur'an Sharif is far more valuable than any vehicle in this world. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer the dua in this world, Allah Ta'ala keeps it in the hereafter. It's mentioned in Hadith Sharif, when this person will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the day of Qiyamah, he will be shown in Jannah, or in Jannah he will be shown certain bounties that Allah Ta'ala is granting him. So he will inquire that, on what basis am I getting this particular palace of Jannah, or this particular bounty of Jannah? It will be said to him that, do you recall that you made a dua on a certain occasion? That dua was not accepted in this world. Or rather, the zuhur of the dua, the appearance of the dua was not seen in this world. But this is the effect of that dua that you had made. It is mentioned that this person will make a statement that, how I wish that none of my duas were accepted in the world and everything was kept for the hereafter. So we do not know, we should have yaqeen that when we are picking up our hands, Allah is accepting our dua. Of course, there are certain etiquettes when a person is making dua. The person should not be asking for something which is impermissible. And the person also should ensure that when he is making dua, his earnings are of a halal nature, his clothing is permissible, of the permissible kind. He has not earned in a haram manner. And together with that, the person should be focused in his dua. Not that the person is making dua and he's fiddling with his fingers, or he's making dua and he's playing with his beard. So that kind of a dua is a dua of a ghafil individual, a mindless person, a heedless person. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that Allah Ta'ala does not accept the dua of a heedless individual. So we should try and keep our heart and mind in that particular dua. So inshallah, tomorrow we will continue with the aspect of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the three ayns which shaitan had, and then inshallah we'll take it from there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to engage in dua in the month of Ramadan, and seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in this masjid, respected elders and brothers. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that how a person will live, that is how the person will die. If we look at the life of our late Hazrat Mawlana Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi, one of the, amongst the many great features and qualities that he had, one particular feature and quality of his was his dua. Hazrat was known for his dua and the deep-hearted duas that he would make, and his great yaqeen and conviction on dua. Hazrat used to say that I am surviving on the duas of people. I am surviving on the duas of people. And Hazrat had so much of yaqeen in duas that very often before certain programs, sometimes he would go out to another place, have a program somewhere else in another town. Hazrat sometimes would phone certain individuals who he knew had some connection with Allah Ta'ala. He would say that we're having a program here. I want you to read 2 rakats namaz and make special dua for this program. So Hazrat had so much of yaqeen in dua, so that Allah Ta'ala made it such that when he left this world, he was in the position of dua right in front of the Kaabatullah Sharif. How a person will live, that is how a person will die. So we must have that great yaqeen in dua. It's such a powerful weapon. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, الدُّعَى سِلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that dua is the weapon of a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. نَشْهَدُ وَاللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُ.